Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners of all stages in their running career about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today we interview a runner who gives a really unique perspective on setting yourself up for success on race day. She talks about aligning the course you choose to the goals you're trying to hit and how sometimes we can set ourselves up for failure by putting certain expectations on a race that is simply not designed for you to execute the goal that you've set out for yourself. She shares a couple of her own race experiences where the race she chose wasn't in line with the goal she was hoping to reach, so make sure you stick around to hear about the Chicago Marathon and what changed for her after her first marathon. I'll let her get right into it, so without further ado, please welcome Emery. Emery, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to do this. I've been looking forward to it. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to you too and breaking down your story here. So let's just start from the beginning. I know you've been running for the last 6 years. How'd you get involved in this world in the first place?
Yeah, so I started, I feel like I see so many people, especially now that running's gotten like so common and popular on the internet and so many people are talking about it, whose stories are like, oh, I always hated running. And then all of a sudden I found myself running. Yeah. But then a lot of times those people will also be like, but I played soccer and all these other sports.
Right, right.
Not me. I was like the least athletic person. I hated sports forever. And in particular, I hated running. Like running was my least favorite part of gym class, of literally everything. And I did not pick it up until I was almost 26. So I was actually getting ready to leave for a couple of years. I was in the Peace Corps. And I was preparing for leaving to join the Peace Corps, and I was kind of getting oriented to what my life was going to look like going overseas for 2.5 years, being possibly somewhere pretty remote and like needing to find some activities that I could do on my own. And also that would be like keeping me getting outdoors and being a little physical, because I lived in the city at the time and I was really used to walking everywhere and like going to yoga classes. And I just kind of had this moment where I was like, maybe I'll try going for a run. And I'm not even really sure why running suddenly popped into my head when I just hated it forever. I think maybe it was starting to pick up a little bit in popularity, and I was starting to see like people who were saying, oh, I never thought I could run a marathon, and then I ran a marathon, or like I never liked running, and then I started doing it and I actually did end up falling in love with it. And I was like, well, maybe that'll happen for me. And I went for a run and I hated it. And I went for a couple more runs and I was like, this is so hard. And it was like exhausting and impossible to even get through a mile. But I was like, you know, every time I go out, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit easier. This feels like something I could sustain through my time in the Peace Corps. So I'll give it a shot. And I had like one pair of really, really old, not great running shoes that my dad gave me when he realized that I was interested in this, because my dad's a runner.
Cool.
Put that in my suitcase with me to go overseas to Ukraine, where I was going to be living, and started getting more dedicated to it once I got there. So like what had been kind of a grueling thing for me to do when I was here in the States, when I was actually in Ukraine, I started to really connect with it as a way to do exactly what I was hoping it was going to do, which was get me out the door, get me out into the world, get me being just kind of like in nature and not just sitting in my room being stressed and overwhelmed, which was sometimes what would happen. And so, yeah, it just is one of those things where as I kept doing it, I just gradually realized like, oh, this is a thing that I do now. And this is even a thing that I like now. And just over the years, it kind of just kept building on itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, you're 100% right. We get a lot of people, especially on this show, that come in and say that exact same thing. I don't like running, but had a sports background or had something that maybe was related to running. So it's interesting to hear that you started from zero and really worked your way up. Having your dad as a runner, was that always something you were like, I never could be me? Like that doesn't seem like something I'd be into.
100%. Because my dad would run, there's a road race that happens in my hometown every year for the 4th of July. And my dad would run it every year. And we would like wake up early so we could go and cheer him on. And for a brief period of time, my sister was also running. My sister did cross country in high school. And so she would do that. And then because she was doing that, I think she ran that road race like once or twice as well. And so I would go and we would watch people, and 100% every time I would be like, why do people do this? I was like, I have no interest. Like I was absolutely one of those people who would watch other people run and talk all the time about how I could not understand why people thought this was fun.
Right.
I could never understand why this was something people wanted to do. It just never appealed to me. I think just because my experiences with it as a kid in like gym and stuff were so terrible. And I was, they put me on the middle school basketball team because I was, I'm 5'11" and I was already pretty close to that height by like the seventh grade.
Right.
So I was not athletic at all. I was just really tall. They would literally put me in the game so that I could just stand there and put my arms up. And I was so tall that inevitably someone would foul me and then I would get to take some shots and I was good at those. And then they would take me out of the game. but like in those, you do the warm-ups and you do the running back and forth across the court. And I was like a full court length behind everyone else. Like my association with running was just that it was this embarrassing, awful, painful thing. And it, I would just go cheer my dad on while he did it. And I was like, well, that's good for you, not for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we do think about running like that in the beginning where we like attribute all running as the same running, like running and basketball, that's got to be the same as what my dad's doing and all that. It's funny how that changes once you actually like get into the sport and start to actually run and find out for yourself. But cool. Yeah. So kind of started to get into it a little bit when you moved to Ukraine. What did that look like in another country? Like, were you just picking random routes and going out and running them, or what was that looking like?
Pretty much. So, and that was what really kind of, I think that ultimately that was what allowed me to really fall in love with running, was because when I was going for runs in Ukraine, I had no goals. I had no real objective. Like I wasn't training for a specific distance. I wasn't even aware, because I wasn't plugged into like the online culture. I didn't really have anyone who I knew who was a runner other than my dad, who was just a routine runner who just like, you know, would go out as often as he could to just go run 3 or 5 miles and then come home. Like, didn't have any gear, didn't have a Strava, like his running was just for him. And so I didn't have any concept of it being this bigger thing. And so for me, it was very much just, if I had a day where I was feeling like, okay, I need to go out and do something, I would just say, okay, I'm going to go run. I think I put the Nike Run Club app on my phone so that I would just like have something that could kind of be tracking my distances. Because I didn't have a watch at the time. So I just had my phone and like a pair of headphones that plugged into my phone that I would listen to some music and I would go for like a little run around my neighborhood. And that was how I started, was just like the neighborhood that I was in. I would go for just like maybe 2 miles around where my house was. And then I moved and I started kind of shifting my route. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to go like 3 or 4 miles. And then I think I got up to 5 miles. And I just started using it as a way to branch out in the community that I lived, because in the Peace Corps, you go to one community. So I was just in one town for the whole 2.5 years that I was there. And so you really get to know it, but you have to get to know it on your own. Like, no one is kind of walking you around and showing you, here's every single corner of the town.
Depending
on the size of the town you're in, you can figure it out pretty quickly. But I was in kind of a mid-sized suburb, and there were a lot of corners of it that people weren't necessarily thinking to show me. Like, it wasn't like the town center or the river walk. And so I would just kind of wind around, and I found that that was how I started really feeling connected to the town that I was living in. It started to make it really feel like home. And so I started associating running with getting out the door and feeling connected to the place that I was in. So that was kind of what running became for me, rather than it being this thing that was about like torture and exercise and like basketball court. It was very much just, okay, if I'm feeling like isolated or I'm feeling disconnected, I know that I can go out for a run and I'm going to get that feeling back. I'm going to get this feeling of being like, okay, look at this amazing place that I live. Look at this cool part of the town that I haven't seen before. Look at all these people who are watching me run thinking I'm crazy because no one there really ran. So I would always be the only person out. Got to know my routes really well to avoid, in Ukraine, there's a lot of stray dogs. And so I had to kind of pick and choose where I was going. But it became a thing that I would do wherever I went. So like, even when I would go visit other volunteers in other parts of the country, I would go for a run around that city and kind of learn it a little bit. And ultimately ended up doing my first road race in Ukraine as well. And
oh, so cool.
It became running for me is very deeply connected with my time in Ukraine, which makes it even more special for me.
For sure. Yeah, that's insane. That's really cool that I know a lot of people, Ukraine's even cooler to have that experience to explore. But I know a lot of people will do like destination races or when they're on vacation, they'll run because it's just a really great way to get to know a city. Like, when else are you going to be running that amount or just even exploring that amount of miles in a day on your feet? It's not something that we do normally. So that's really cool. And then this road race, I'm curious about that because I don't know anything about a lot of the run scene outside of some of the major countries that host like big races. So what's the road race scene like in Ukraine?
Yeah, so they do have a series of them. So they do have a group called Run Ukraine, and they kind of operate some road races in the major cities around the country. And so the first one that I did was kind of just a more like a smaller one. So it was in a town called Vinnytsia, which is in kind of the southwestern part of the country. And that was a bigger city that was kind of a hub for a lot of volunteers. And there were a few other volunteers who were going to be running in this race.
Cool.
And I was like, okay, like if other people are going anyway, some of them were my friends who were runners. And so I was like, I'll go. And at that point, I think I'd run maybe a maximum of 4 to 5 miles, and I signed up for the 10K. There was a 5K. I don't know why I didn't sign up for the 5K. In my head, I was like, there's going to be all this energy and it's just going to be fun and other people are doing the 10K, so I'll do the 10K. It was horrible. It went I was so unprepared for what the distance was going to feel like. And of course, sure. I had like, no, again, this is like, I had no gear. I was wearing like these capri yoga pants that I've had since like high school, and like right. That was way too warm for the weather. I had just a literal like tourist fanny pack to put like my phone in. Like I was very unprepared, and the distance was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But I got to the end of it and I was like, oh, like I did that. Like that was really hard, but I did that. And then that was the point at which I decided maybe I'm going to train for a half marathon, because I really liked that I had pushed myself, and that even though it was really hard, that my feeling at the end of it had been one that was positive. Yeah. I was like, okay, like this feels like a shift in my relationship to running. This feels like something that maybe I do want to try to take in a more serious direction. And so I signed up for the Kyiv half marathon in the capital city, which was in October of 2019. And it was like right after my birthday, I remember, because I told my parents that all I wanted for my birthday that year was for them to get me a hotel room in the city so that I could not have to take the bus back to my town after the race. I could have a bathtub so that I could take a bath after the half marathon.
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah.
Because I love to take a bath after I go for a long run. It's like my favorite. And so I went into the city and I ran that. And that was my first half marathon, was through like the capital city, which was an amazing experience.
So cool. Yeah. So do you remember like start day you put on shoes for the first time and ran a mile to up to half marathon point? How many months was that? Like how much experience did you have under your belt?
That was about 2 years.
2 years. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was because I left for the Peace Corps in 2017. I think I blacked out a little bit on like the last 4 years versus the time that came before that. And when I said I've been running for 6 years, it's probably been longer now. And I just like don't remember how time works. I left the Peace Corps in 2017, in the late fall of 2017. And so late summer of 2017 was when I first like put on a pair of running shoes and went for a mile run in Somerville in Boston, where I was living. And then October of 2019, so almost exactly 2 years later, was when I ran the half marathon.
Okay, cool, cool. And running it in a major city in another country is amazing. So what I know we're talking about your first marathon experience, but I want to know what that was like too. What was it like running that first half marathon?
It was awesome. It was really cool. It was a race, because it was in the capital city, it was a race that a lot of volunteers would travel in for. They would do either the half marathon or the full marathon. It was my first kind of exposure to that real feeling of like a crowd, because the 10K that I did was, like I said, kind of smaller. So there were like some people out, but it didn't really compare to the half marathon. And the half marathon course was also just incredible. The capital city of Kyiv is really beautiful. It's like one of my favorite places that I've ever been in the world. And it's a really special one for me. And so to run through that city, especially after I'd already been living in Ukraine for almost 2 years at that point, and spent so much time in that city, like there's just all these beautiful monuments and old churches, and like some of it was kind of cobblestoney, which was not ideal. But I remember I went in and I was like, my only goal for this, I had no time goal. I was like, I just want to not walk. I was like, if I can just stay moving the whole time, then I will be happy with it. And I remember that at like mile 12, there was this terrible hill through this like very cobblestony, like old part of the town.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I won't walk. And I did it. And I ran up the hill and I finished the whole thing running. And I just had, you know, you end at the same place where you start, which is in Maidan Nezalezhnosti, which is like Independence Square, which is sort of the big center of the city. There's just all these beautiful buildings and there were all these people. And like, it just felt very special. It felt, especially after having been in the Peace Corps and in Ukraine for the last 2 years, it felt like, I remember feeling very accomplished and very like, this is my home. And this is like so cool that I'm doing this in a place that has become my home and that has given me this passion. And like, it felt very, complete. It was a really special one for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool that it got to come like full circle for you from starting running to getting to run this big race by the end. Yeah. And how long were you in the Peace Corps after you ran the half marathon?
I was there for another handful of months. So I was meant to be there for another year. So I'd actually extended my service and I would have been there through December of 2020. But 2020, things did not go the way that people thought they were going to. So I was there through March of 2020 after the race. And then when COVID hit, they had to evacuate everyone because they closed the borders in Ukraine. And from a U.S. government standpoint, that was considered not secure. So we weren't allowed to stay in the country when they closed the borders, because if anything happened, then once the borders are closed, they can't get you out. It was a whole saga.
Right.
Got flown back to the United States and have been back here since then.
Wow. So that happened pretty quickly. And then I'm sure, so you kind of hit the height of your running career at that point, right? Running that half marathon, and then the world shut down. So what happened for you in your running world from there, from when you got back to the States?
That was when I started getting really involved with running with my dad. So because I had not been living in the United States, I didn't have a place to come back to. So when they evacuate you from the Peace Corps, they send you to what they call your home of record, which is just whatever they have kind of on record as the last place that you lived. And obviously, like, I didn't still have an apartment in Boston. I didn't have like a place that I could go back to. So they sent me back to my parents. So I moved back in with my parents in Rhode Island, where I'm from. And after a couple months of just being like very, very locked down, because my household was like, we really didn't leave the house for probably like 3 months. And once we started kind of easing up a little bit on that, my dad and I started going for some runs together, because I was feeling the itch. I was like, okay, like, I'm really cooped up. And I had technically been training. I was supposed to run another half marathon in Ukraine that following fall. And so I was like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this. And my dad and I started running together, not every day, but like very frequently. We had a whole routine where we had a specific spot that we would drive to. We would park the car. My dad would go do his run. I would go do mine. We'd meet back up. It was really nice. It was a really nice time of us being able to kind of, you know, we weren't actually running together. We would just park the car and then kind of do our warm up together and then split off. But it was always a part of the day to really look forward to, especially in a time when like I had no job. I had no one that I knew. Like, I have a lot of family in Rhode Island, but I didn't have any friends who were here. And it was it was a pretty big trauma being evacuated. And so there was a lot of kind of processing that was going on with like, am I going to be able to go back to Ukraine? Am I not going to be able to go back to Ukraine? Because everything was so uncertain. And so the running just really at that point felt like something to get me out the door and just kind of keep me sane. And then as things kept dragging on and it became clear that I was not going to be able to go back to Ukraine, my parents helped me actually stake out. We mapped out a half marathon route in my town.
Oh, cool.
And so on the weekend that I was supposed to run the race in Ukraine, I went out and I just ran a half marathon by myself. And like, my parents had like water stations where they like drove there so they could give me like Gatorade and water, and they made signs. And a couple of my aunts and uncles who lived in town like popped up at different places with signs just like on the side of the road.
That's so fun,
it was
though.
Just me like on the side of the main road in my hometown running 13.1 miles. but it was really fun. And felt like another step in that direction of just me kind of like evolving my relationship with what running was, because I wanted to do the distance and I wanted to see if I could run it a little faster, but like there were no crowds, there was no participation, like recognition. It was just me saying like, this is just something that's important to me now. Like, this is just a thing I'm doing for myself. And at that point it had really shifted to being also about like my mental health and just sort of my sanity and like getting out the door and moving my body. And it was a wild time, but it was fun.
And thank God you had the experience you had in Ukraine where you had like developed a relationship with running. Cause I can imagine if you didn't have that relationship and all of this happened to you, you would have been feeling a little bit lost. Maybe you would have found running at that point, but a little bit easier to have it already in your life. So I think that's just speaks to how running impacts our mental health and how it can help us in both the positive and the negative areas of our life. We can always kind of go back and lean on it when we need it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's just like the way that like what your relationship to running is. And I think that for me, I have been really lucky in a lot of ways to have come into it so late and to have kind of found the sport under the circumstances that I did, because any pressure that I eventually kind of put on myself to perform in a certain way or to hit certain goals, like running a marathon, like it's all coming from me. And it's very much just this natural evolution. Like I've never been someone who I didn't come into this from a sports background or from like, you know, I hear so much about people really having to heal their relationship with running as being this like competitive thing and needing to learn how to fuel because they were taught to underfuel and like all of these kind of really difficult parts of a relationship with running, and having come into it in this way that it's just really always for me been about having the opportunity and how amazing it is to be able to like go connect with a place and move your body. I feel like I'm really fortunate to have come into it under my own terms in that way. And I feel grateful for that a lot, because I think it's really been able to shape a really healthy relationship with the sport.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's unique. Absolutely. Coming into it without any kind of like preconceived notions about what it could be or what it's going to turn into, I think is great. Well, cool. So when did you, you ran the half marathon, the virtual, we'll call it a virtual half marathon during COVID. When did the idea of running a marathon first kind of creep its way into your life?
Yeah. So that would have been, there's chunks of years in between all of them. So that was like 2020. And then I ran like one or two other half marathons just kind of like locally over the next year. And I had noticed that I would run the half marathons and I could finish the half marathons. But in every half marathon, in the last like 3 miles or so, my hips would just like lock up. Like they would just be really, really tight and it would be really hard to get through the last 3 miles. And I started kind of working with like an old school online coach, just like not like a traditional coaching program, just someone who was like, I paid her like $15 a month and she sent me like an Excel spreadsheet being like, go do these couple of runs and just like track them. And it was very, very hands off. And we did that and I ran a half marathon. And I remember thinking to myself before I went out that I felt like I was in better shape than I had been. I was like, okay, this feels like it's having some impact on me feeling a little bit stronger. And I had this little piece in my brain that was like, if I can finish this particular half marathon and my hips don't hurt, like if this one finishes with no pain, I would maybe consider running a marathon. Like maybe that's something that I would then be ready for. Because at that point I'd run like 4 or 5 half marathons and I was starting to, okay, I'm settling into this distance. I like it. Do I have the itch to do a marathon? And I was like, well, if my hips are seizing up at mile 10, then I'm not going to go run 26 miles.
Sure.
And I ran that half marathon and I ran a pretty decent PR for myself and I had no pain. And I was like, okay, I think maybe this is something I'm going to look into. And I started doing like research. I was like, okay, what would be a good like first marathon? This would have been in the spring, summer of 2021 would have been when I ran the half marathon. And I was like, maybe this is something I'm going to start thinking about. Was it 2021? No, it was 2022. This was 2022 already. It was 2022. I ran the half marathon. It went really well. I started like Googling. I was like, what could I run as a first marathon? And then at the same time, I was following this kind of online coaching program called Lift, Run, Perform. I don't know if you've seen their programs. I'd been following their like founder, Mary, on Instagram and stuff for a while. And I really liked her. And they do like training groups for marathons.
Oh, okay, cool.
To kind of fill out some information because you have to be within a certain time frame, and they do the training groups setting specific goals. So they say like they'll have groups. A lot of their groups are really fast. Like a lot of their groups, like the big marathons, and a lot of them are like they do a group that's trying to run a marathon in under 3 hours. And they are kind of small training programs that include the running and then also like strength training and kind of group conversation. And right around that time when I was Googling things, they announced that they were going to be doing a sub 4 hour marathon group for the Richmond Marathon because they do it specifically for one. And I had just run that half marathon where I had just set a PR that would put me exactly at the slowest end of the range that they required for you to apply. Because you had to
Okay.
between a certain amount of time for a half marathon in order for them to basically say like, yes, we think it's feasible that you could run a 4 hour or a faster marathon. And my previous PRs would have been too slow. I would not have qualified. And this new one qualified. In theory, I was like right on the edge. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just apply for this. And if I get into this, then I'm going to train for the Richmond Marathon. We'll do it. That's what I'm going to do. And if I don't, then I'll pivot and I'll keep looking and maybe I'll run something else in the fall. And then I got into that one. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm training to run a marathon. And in like very obsessive perfectionist Virgo fashion, I'm apparently going to try to do it in under 4 hours, even though it's my first
one. So set the goal pretty big for your first one.
Yeah, I was like, you know, go big or go home. If I'm going to try to do it, I'm just going to try to really do it. And joined that group for the Richmond Marathon, which was the November of that year.
Okay, cool, cool. So you said that this group was not only just a community of people, but it was, they gave you a training plan that you were all following. Yeah. Was it the same training plan for every single person, or was it like tweaked based on the individual at all?
I think it was slightly individualized. So, I mean, the general structure was kind of like a standard format. You know, they were in touch with each of the athletes. There were only about, I think there were like 10 of us who were doing it. 10 or 12, I think. I can't really remember. It was a smaller group that actually made it to the marathon. I think it was around 10 people. And the coaches would be in touch with us as a group, but then they would also be in touch with us directly. And so like I had check-ins with the two coaches who were coaching our particular unit. And I would be able to say like, I'm, you know, traveling this weekend, and so I'm not going to be able to hit these runs. And they would be like, okay, let's like move them to this day, or let's just skip it, or let's, can you do like a slightly shorter run? Like they would kind of work to tweak things with me. It's not like I was having to put that in like a group page and then they were like, we'll change everyone's schedule.
So sure
there was an individualized element, but the kind of general structure of it was we all started, like we were onboarded at exactly the same time, so we had the same amount of weeks that we were training, and we were meant to be kind of at the exact same stages along the way. And then the strength training was programmed just the same for everyone.
That
was
same.
Like a universal, everyone had access to an app, and anyone who was using the Lift, Run, Perform programs in general was just getting the same kind of download of here are your strength workouts for the week. And then you would log them.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool. I haven't heard training plans like that before. That's really cool. I've heard of like run clubs for Chicago and New York and stuff like that, where they'll have groups that run together in person. But I like that it's virtual. You still get a community of people to be around, and everybody has goals, still tweaks things individually. I actually think that's a pretty cool format.
Yeah. And it's cool to structure it around something like a time goal, because then you have, you know, I'm sure you could do the same thing or do a very similar model without a time goal and just focusing on a particular race or like a particular time of year. But it was fun to be doing that with the same kind of goal, because you knew that everyone was kind of at least monitoring their training to a certain similar degree. Like you knew that everyone was kind of eyeing similar paces, and there would be like this shared frustration if you felt like, oh, I'm not hitting where I think I need to be to hit this specific goal. And like there was kind of a sense of like, okay, we're all looking for the same thing here. So it did feel nice to know that there were other people who were like hitting the same kind of highs and lows that you were.
For sure. Yeah. And for that, through that program, compared to like what you had put together training for your half marathons, what was the difference between the two? Was there anything that you picked up from the marathon cycle that you wish maybe you had learned a little bit sooner or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest stuff was definitely the fueling and the strength training. So I was not doing any of that. Like I was running my half marathons up until that point. I didn't even have a water bottle. Like I was like running on my own. I had no concept of like taking gels or like doing like electrolyte powder. I was just like, I have absolutely no idea. Like if I get thirsty, I might drink one of those Dixie cups of water on the court.
Sure.
Not fueling. And I had no strength training in my training at all. And so that was a big shift because in addition to the strength training that was programmed, they also gave us like a session with a sports nutritionist, dietitian, whatever, to kind of talk about like fueling and how you need to fuel a marathon. And so like for that marathon, I ended up fueling the whole thing and doing like a carb load, which I had never done before. And
yeah. So
that kind of approach to treating it more like a kind of holistic thing of being like, okay, well, if I want to do this, it's not just about like, okay, I guess I better get out the door and get a run in. It's also about like approaching it with, okay, this particular run serves this particular function. Like I'm going to go, like I wasn't doing like speed workouts versus long runs. Like
yeah. The
whole concept of approaching it is almost like a science of like, here's all of these little components that you need to be doing or that you should be doing or can be doing to like see these specific results was totally foreign to me. And it was something that I respond to very well because I'm like, okay, yes, give me data, give me instructions, give me very specific things to do. I'm very task oriented. And so it was a very good fit for me to be like, here's the things you need to do. And then you'll hopefully hit your goal. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you just execute. Exactly. Yeah, cool. Where was the point? I feel like there's always a point for your first marathon where it actually seems doable. Like we've already wrapped our head around the fact that we're going to do it when we sign up, but there's a point in training where maybe we hit a certain mileage or we have a certain workout where it's like, this is doable. Do you remember where that point was for you?
I think it was right around the second 20 mile run that I did. So I remember because in the training program that they did over the course of the training block, there were 3 20 mile runs that we did. And I remember going for the first one and being like, I'm going to die. I was like, there's absolutely no way. Like, how am I going to run 6 more miles than that? It was, you know, the trouble with training for a fall marathon is that you're doing your training in the summer.
So
it was hot. And I just remember I was like so dehydrated. I took water with me, but it wasn't enough. And it was just a hot day. And I misjudged my distance. So I was too far away from home when I finished. And I was just like, this is terrible. And my legs were dying. And I was like, that whole day, I was like, this is all a terrible idea. I'm not going to do this. And so then by comparison, of course, when I went out and did my second 20 mile run a couple weeks later, you know, so much of those distances, when you're doing a new distance for the first time, you've never done it before. And so your body is just like screaming and your body is like, no, I can't do this. But once you've done it once, then the next time you do it, it's still hard, but it is more familiar. And I got through that second one and I was like, oh, that's so different than it was a couple weeks ago. Like it was still really challenging to get through, but I don't feel like I'm going to die. My legs are not feeling like they're going to fall off my body. I don't feel like I'm like super dehydrated. And I got to the end of that one and I was like, okay, like if that's how much better it feels after just doing that one time, I still got another one of these to go. And if I really just continue to kind of prioritize this and do the things that they're telling me to do, I think I can do this. I do remember feeling like, okay, this is not as painful as the first one, which means I think I can get there.
We're going to be okay.
we're going to do it. We're going to get there. It might end up feeling like that first 20 mile run.
Sure.
But that was still a run that I finished. It just sucked.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about how you're going to feel at the end.
Yeah.
But for those, how much do you feel like doing multiple 20 mile runs where one felt like not so great, the other ones were like, okay, maybe I can do this. How much of that do you think is mental versus physical?
Yeah, I think the mental part of it is just recognizing the difference between the runs is not just like, oh, am I stronger? Am I a better runner? But it's also all the circumstantial stuff. So it's like, you know, I can go out for a 20 mile run and it can be terrible. And it can be because it's 90 degrees out. And if I do that same run, I've not trained for any marathons where I get to go for a 20 mile run at the end of November. Like I've never done that. That's probably a lot better than going for a 20 mile run in the middle of July. And so I think the mental part is just accepting that like there's just days where things just don't click. Like there's just sometimes you go for a long run and it's just like your heart rate is just immediately really high. You just like, you can't really tolerate taking the fuel that you brought with you. Even if it's not the heat, it's just like your body just is not in it. Or there's something, maybe you didn't get a good night's sleep, or you've just had a long week, or your head is just kind of out of it. And you just feel, it's really easy to kind of convince yourself or to get in the headspace of like, this is just because I'm not well trained. Like this is because I haven't been doing like heart rate training. And so like these, my heart rate's way too high because I'm not like zone two training, which is all the rage right now. Or like my energy levels are just really low because I'm not taking enough carbs, even though like you have six gels with you and you're like, you know, you can get into that space when you have a tough run where you're blaming everything on your body and you're blaming everything on your training. And I think the mental piece is just getting to the place where you can say, like, this isn't reflective of my training. This is one run. Like, this is just one hard run. And the next time I go out and do this, it's probably going to be a totally different experience. Maybe it'll still be hard, but it'll be a little less hard. Or maybe it's going to be like night and day. And I'm going to go out and this run is going to be amazing. But it's not going to be the exact same as this one, because it's not just about what my fitness is. It's also about like what's happening in my life on this particular day.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, totally. And for your first marathon, like you're so, everything is so new that you kind of by default have to blame yourself. I won't say half, but you, by default, we do blame ourselves, because it's like, we don't know if it's because we've never done this before and because our fitness levels aren't there yet. Or like you said, if it's 90 degrees out and this would happen to me if I was running for 3 years at this point, you just don't know in the beginning. So you blame everything on yourself. So I think we get a lot of new people that listen to this podcast. So I think for anybody, just have some grace with yourself and take some things into consideration when you're going out on these runs, because so many factors are at play.
100%. And like, I'm jumping the gun a little bit on the trajectory here, but like, I remember after the marathon having my debrief call with my coach and explicitly being like, did this happen to me because I was not well trained or just because I had never run a marathon before? Because I was like, my experience was great, but I still was like in this space of like, did the things that didn't go as well as I hoped they were going to just happen because I didn't train hard enough, or like I should have, you know, I should have not skipped those couple of strength training sessions, or I should have, spoiler alert, she was like, no, it's just because you've never run a marathon before. She was like, it was hard because your body's never run 26 miles before.
Right.
She was like, next time you run 26 miles, it's not going to be that hard. Like that was just because it was the first time. You're good. You're fine. You did everything you were supposed to. So I try to take that into every run of like, you're good. You're fine. You're doing what you're supposed to. It's just sometimes other things are hard.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. 100%. And shout out to your coach for saying that, because that's great. Well, cool. Well, let's talk about the marathon then. I know. So we got through training. Leading up, you said that you did like a carb load. I assume some sort of taper was built into the plan. Yeah. Like, how were you feeling the week leading up to the marathon day?
Yeah, I was feeling good. I remember it was so in addition to my crazy decision to run my first marathon in under 4 hours, I also ran it 5 weeks before my wedding.
Wow.
So I was in like the heat of wedding planning. So I was actually in preparation for this podcast, I was like looking back through my calendar because I was trying to remember like what was going on. And I was like, oh yeah, the Sunday before I had my scheduled appointment at the florist to do my bouquet. And like week after I got back, I had my dress fitting. It was everything was chaos. And I remember that week was like, it was calm. It was good. It was, the race had this nice advantage for me anyway, with working full time, where, the marathon was on a Saturday because it was Veterans Day weekend. And that year Veterans Day was on a Friday. And so the long weekend started on the Friday. And so my parents came down for it. And so did my then fiance, now husband. And we were able to go down on Thursday night. So we were able to fly in like after work on Thursday. And then Friday was a holiday. So we had like the day. So I knew that I was going to be able to have a really easy transition into it. And so that whole week leading up, I was just very focused on like staying calm and just being like, you know, I've got time. We're going to get there and I'm going to have all of this like time to kind of prepare and orient myself. And I'm going to get to meet the people who are on the team and that's going to be nice. And like, I'm in a good spot with wedding planning. And it was a short week at the office because it was also election day. It was like, it was a weird thing where like election day was late. So the election day had been on the Tuesday and then the marathon was on Saturday. So I had had election day off, and then I was taking Friday was a holiday off. It was like this nice thing where it was just like I was able to go into the week being like, I don't have that much going on. I can just be focused on like staying calm and reminding myself that I'm prepared for this and figuring out how I'm going to eat 11 bagels worth of carbs for 3 days.
Sure. The important things.
Yeah.
Cool. So you were kind of in just planning mode. Like I'm just going to stay focused. I'm going to do what I need to do here and just focus on what I need to do.
Very, cool. Very focused. I made a lot of, somewhere I still have the notebook. I made a lot of lists. I like, I remember I spent a lot of time on Google Maps looking at like where our Airbnb was and where the different like bagel shops and restaurants and grocery stores were in like orientation to that place. And I was making like a packing list like 4 days in advance of everything, like down to like the gels I was going to bring with me, the water bottle, the shoes, the thing I was going to wear to the race in the morning as an extra layer. That like I had such a detailed packing list with all little check boxes. And then like I planned out, I pre-planned my carb load in check boxes too. So I was like, here's all the things I'm going to eat on Thursday. Here's all the things I'm going to eat on Friday. And I'll check them off as I do them. I was like very focused on just like being prepared and being like ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably a good distraction too, leading up. So you're not just sitting there thinking about the start line. Well, cool. So race morning then, was it an early start? Did you start around like the normal 8:07?
Yeah.
If you remember?
It definitely was early because I remember that it was still dark out when we walked. So I know I was like, one of the nice things about Richmond was that it was pretty small. And so I remember I was walking distance from where I was meeting. So we were meeting as a team in the morning. So like one of the coaches who had been coaching us was there to actually run with us. She was going to pace the people. And then the people who were running, we were all kind of staying in slightly different places. And so they had us meet at a central hotel in the morning. Cause we all had like, coordinated shirts that we all had with like the team on it. And
they had
split us at that point into two groups, like one group that they expected to hit right around the 4 hour mark. And then one group that they were orienting towards thinking that they could actually hit 3:50, which was the group that they put me in. And so they kind of like, you know, we had our little, they were very small. It was like, there were like three or four of us per, and we were just kind of orienting ourselves, but it was fun to be able to like get up and walk over and then immediately be with the team. Even though they were not people who I'd met in person until like the day before, it just felt really nice to be able to be like, okay, like this energy is very shared right now. Like everyone was nervous because we were all aiming for a similar time goal. Like it was all people who had never run sub 4 hours. That was the whole goal, was like, this had to be something you were trying to do for the first time. And so it was like, we were all nervous, but excited. And we'd been training long, and you know, it was, I remember at Richmond they give you a sticker, so if it's your first marathon you get to put a little like pink sticker on your bib that says,
oh, I love that. Yeah,
people can spot you on the course. And so I think I was the only one in the group who it was my first marathon, and so I was just like excited. I felt like really proud and excited. I had my own thing, we were like taking group pictures, and I just felt like, okay, like it's here, it's happening. It's there were some nerves from everyone, myself included. It was a pretty warm day. So Richmond gets advertised as being like pretty moderate weather. Like you would look at the photos and there were all these like people in like ear warmers and stuff, because it's normally in the 50s. And that day it was projected, I think, to be right around 70 degrees
with
like 65% humidity.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Big difference. So there was a lot of kind of adjusting of like, okay, like how are we feeling prepared for this heat that we weren't thinking we were going to have? And because I think it had pivoted, like, if I recall correctly, it was not supposed to be that warm. And then it like in the last few days before the marathon kind of shifted, and it was like, you're not gonna have a cool day. You're going to have just this one hot day in the middle of the week, and it's going to be the day you're running a marathon. There was kind of like some adjustment there. No, for the most part, it was an early start. I remember I woke up, it was very, very, very dark out. I ate my little like toast with peanut butter, and I do like some sort of carbs, and like a very, very, very small amount of coffee and a lot of water. I drink, before all of my races and all of my long runs, I drink Tailwind.
I love them.
Stuff as like a carb, additional carb source for before I go running. So I always have like regular water, Tailwind water, waffles or bagel or toast with peanut butter, small amount of coffee and like settle in. And I like to get up like pretty early before the race. So I was up very, very, very early. So I could like
eat
this and have like over an hour to like settle and get ready and then go meet everybody. And then it was just kind of like, okay, here we go.
Let's go. Yeah. I'm the same way. I like to give myself plenty of time in the morning so you're not rushing, stressing. You can like check your checklist and all that good stuff before you head out.
Yeah. I'm that person who gets to the airport like 4 hours before.
Well, cool. So logistically you got everything under control. You headed to the start line. Let's talk about what like the start line to maybe the half marathon point was like for you.
Yeah, it was, oh God, I don't even know if I remember very much the difference in the points. No, I do. So the first few miles, it was great because they had split us into those kind of two subgroups. It was me and I was running very closely with two of the other runners.
Oh, cool.
And we were kind of very aligned for the first significant handful of miles on our pace. And I remember we actually were very confused and like we're all kind of confirming with each other because the pacer for the four, I think we went out with the 350 or the four, I think we went out with the 4 hour pacer and then we were going to hopefully like speed up a little bit. But we wanted to make sure we could play it nice and easy for the first few miles. And the 4 hour pacer went out so hot and we were all like trying to keep up and we kept like looking at our watches and we were like, what does your pace say? And we were all comparing. We were like, this is way too fast. It was putting us like, is like 30 or 40 seconds faster than we should have been. And everybody around looked like they were also kind of like struggling to keep up. And we were like, I don't think this is good. And so we fell back a little bit because we were like, I'm not keeping up with this guy. I don't
think
that's the pace that we should be running. And so we would just be kind of like checking in with each other. Like we'd hit a mile and kind of be like, okay, like what does your watch say? And we would just make sure that we were all getting like around what we wanted to be. And when we confirmed that, then we were like, okay, we're good. We'll keep going. It wasn't like a lot of talking. We were just kind of like there to keep each other like in check. And I remember there were a good amount of crowds. And so it was fun because it was, you know, my first marathon. And so getting that experience of like all of the people who were there and the sticker was really nice because people genuinely like responded to it. Like people who on the sidelines would be like, you can do this. Like, it's so exciting. And
I love that.
That felt really cool. And then at a certain point, I want to say it was about like 6 miles in, the course goes kind of off the main road and goes kind of into the woods a little bit. And so it's very shaded and it's very peaceful. There's not really a lot of people who are spectating and it's like, you're running along the river. And I remember just feeling very locked in. Like, I was like, this is great. I was like, I'm feeling like I'm where I should be for my paces. I'm seeing the people. At that point, the other runners that I was with had gone a little bit ahead. They'd picked it up a little bit. And I remember thinking, that's picking it up too much for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm comfortable where I am. I feel like I'm at the pace that I need to, and my energy's where I need to be. And I'm just going to hold here. And I wanted to like, make sure that I didn't lose track of them. I was like, I'm not going to let them get so far away that I can't see them.
Right.
But I'm just going to hang back and just enjoy this. And this is great. I had my like playlist on my Shocks and I was like listening to some songs I was enjoying. And I was just like, this is fun. I was like, I'm enjoying this. This is good.
Yeah.
And I think right around the half marathon point was where it started getting hard in terms of that was where the hills started coming. And that was where you started really being exposed to the sun. And at that point I kind of shifted gears and I was like, okay, this is where now I go into like performance mode. And I remember at that point, my teammates were great but they had gone out a little hot and I passed them. And then I was like, I'm not going to stay back because I think that now they're dragging a little bit because they went out a little bit hotter and I feel a little bit stronger and I'm going to go. Again, it was also like a brutally hot and humid day. And a lot of people really had difficult experiences with it. There were heat stroke issues. It was bad. But I felt good. I was trying to make sure I was keeping in check with like, am I hydrated enough? Do I feel like I'm struggling with the sun? Because obviously that's not something you want to mess around with at all. And I felt good. And at some point, I remember one of the other girls from the team who they had put in like the 4 hour group, not the 350, was our coach was pacing her and they just took off past me. And I was like, oh my God, like they're, they are cruising. Like she's feeling it. She ended up being the first one to finish. She had an amazing race. And I was just like, good for you. Way to go. Yeah. I'll see you over there. I was like, I'm not feeling that confident in my paces. And I just kind of kept going, and everything from like half marathon point to probably like mile like 19 or 20 is just kind of like a blur of just being like, okay, I just need to, because at that point it's like all a distance that I've done before, but it's also the part where it is hard. And so you're just kind of like, I just need to hit my paces and not lose steam and make sure that I'm taking my fuel and I'm hydrating and just keep plugging.
Yeah. So up until, I mean, we will hear about the last 6 miles, but up at the part that was charted territory for you, sounds like it went pretty smooth. Were you hitting like pretty consistently the paces that you were hoping to hit at that point?
Yeah, I was feeling surprisingly good. I remember was feeling like, oh, like, because I had gone in when they had approached me about putting me in the 350 group. I remember being like, I don't think so. Like, are you sure? Like, I don't feel very confident in that. And they were like, no, based on like how you've been hitting your paces and in training, like, I think this is something you can do if you want to. It was very much like a choice. It was like, do you want to try to go for that time? And I was like, well, you know, I might as well, but I was trying to be very cognizant as I was actually running it of like, am I going to push myself so hard trying to hit 350 that then I can't even hit four? Like, I don't want to lose sight of the original goal. So I was trying to check in with just like, are my paces where they need to be? I don't want to overshoot them. And then just being really focused on hydrating, because it was such a warm day. I just wanted to make sure that I was hitting the water stations, and I had prepped, my parents were there and they had an extra, like a second water bottle. And so we prepped in advance so that they would be, I think they were around mile 16, with a fresh water bottle that I like when I race, I like to have a water bottle with scratch in it. And then I drink the water from the aid stations and I have scratch in my own bottle. But for the marathon, I was like, my bottle's going to be empty by the time I get like a little past halfway. And so I swapped. So I was able to run into them at mile 16 and just give them my old bottle. And then I had the new one that had a fresh packet of scratch in it and also had like an untapped gel in the front pocket of it so that I didn't have to carry quite as much with me. And so we executed that, and then I was able to like continue really hydrating with the electrolytes. And so that was like my, that was my real focus. But no, I was feeling really good. I was like, okay, this feels like, I wasn't trying to like zero in too much on the pacing, but at that race, I had blocked this part out. At that particular race, people could track you, but you had, this is probably common in a lot of them, people could track you, but you had to like turn on like race tracker or whatever the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you do that, if you're running with headphones, it tells you your
It rings. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Time I would hit a certain spot, it would like say in my ear, like, you know, 10K, and then it would say like average pace, and then it would say your projected finish time. And so in my ear repeatedly, I was having this little like mechanical voice that was saying like projected finish time. And it was telling me like I was on, initially it was telling me that I was on track for like 350. I was like right around 351 or something. And so I was like, okay. And I was just listening to it. And I remember up until probably like mile 20, I was just trying to keep it in around that range. I was like, if I'm in 350, 351, that's fine. If it drops down even like another minute, that's still fine. It's not time to turn on the guns yet. So we're going to feel good about it. And then hopefully it doesn't drop too much lower than that. And if it does, then I'll readjust.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that could either help you or hurt you, like to hear those in your head, because it could either psych you out if you're not hitting the paces that you're supposed to, or if you are, you're like, oh, okay, great. Just validation that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So
it's a big strike out at the very beginning, especially as someone who is running one for the first time. If you are a first time marathoner and you run a race where you're going to have that voice in your ear, do not let it like make you speed up in the first few miles, because
for sure
it makes us so much slower. So when we were first getting it in our ears, it was saying like 4 hours and 10 minutes because you're deliberately pacing yourself back. And so it was like, you had to turn off the part of your brain that was like hearing 4 hours and 10 minutes and be, your brain's like, oh no, we're not going to hit the goal. And it's like, no, this is part of the plan. This is intentional. This will change. But hearing the voice be like, no, this is going to be your time, was like, oh no.
Yeah. You want to figure out how to turn it off or something mid-race, which is also not the best idea.
Not right now.
Yeah. Well, cool. So up to 20, we were pretty good. How was the Uncharted stuff, the last six for you?
Yeah, the Uncharted stuff was very Uncharted. So for multiple reasons. The first one was that around mile 21 was a hill that was not advertised in the course breakdown. And so we had prepped for this course and like been under the impression that I think mile 17 was the last hill. And then from that point, and then right at like mile 21-ish, you like rounded a corner and it was a highway overpass.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is the last thing that I need right now. And I made it up the hill and the whole time I was just like, this is where things start to fall apart. I was like, this is not great. This is not what I need on a warm day on a course that was already a little hillier than I was expecting the hills to feel. And then a surprise, like not insignificant hill. The elevation, it was one of our chief complaints at the end of the race. It was a really fun race. But when we had like our little kind of team get together in the evening, we were all comparing our stats on the elevation, and they had advertised this as being a race with like an elevation gain of, I don't know, something like 300 or 400 feet. And all of us had like over 700 feet of elevation.
What? That's crazy.
Like, something's off.
Yeah.
Which is not a very fun surprise when you've
been
for something that is going to be one way. So that like threw me off. Probably the next couple miles, I was just like, okay, like, this is just hard. I made it up the hill. It's at that point you were kind of winding through neighborhoods. And I remember there were like a lot of people, like there were a lot of families and like people who had the tables with like, you can just bail. And like, here's a fireball shot. If you want, you could finish the race or you could come have a drink. Or people who were saying like, keep running the race, but here's a free beer. And there were people at that point who were just starting to be like, yeah, sure. That was also the point at which it started to get really kind of like hairy in terms of, because of the heat, people were really falling off. Like there, once I got to probably around mile 22, like I was just straight up running through streets where there were just like people peeling off to the side to like sit down and like get medical attention. And like everyone around me was starting to walk for extended periods of time. Like it, people were really feeling the heat and it was starting to get a little bit like, oh, like
what's happening?
I hope that I'm not pushing it too hard. Like this feels weird. Cause again, I'd never run a marathon before. So I like everything that was happening past a certain amount of time. I was like, is this normal? I was like, is this just what it feels like to get to mile 22? Is this just when like everybody starts being like, oh God, this is so hard. And people just start collapsing. Or is it because it's 70 degrees out? Or is it like, I felt very like, I remember feeling like it was like eerie. Like there was this one particular stretch of road where it was like there were only a small number of us that were running and there was a lot of people who were like moving over to the side trying to like pour water on themselves. There was one person who was like fully just like collapsed on the side, but they were okay, but they were just like sprawled out on the ground. They were just done. And I was like, this is getting pretty gnarly. And I was just trying to like run my own race. But then probably another mile or so after that was when my thighs just started like lighting up on fire. That was where the physical realities of not having done the distance just started really catching up with me. And the whole, basically the whole last like 4-ish miles were just me in a constant mental battle with myself being like, you will finish this race. You're on track to run it in under 4 hours. At that point, my time had slipped a little bit and I knew that I was not feeling like I was going to be physically possible of running it in 3 hours and 50. I was just like, I can't get that kind of turnover. Like it's just a struggle to keep moving. But I also knew if I stopped, I was not going to be able to start moving again. When I stop moving my legs, they're not going.
You're
anywhere.
Done. Yeah.
So I knew I just had to keep running. But I was no longer trying to like turn on any kind of real guns. I was just like, this is the pace that I'm going to just try to hold. If I can hold this, then I can do this. And I started kind of getting the little voice in my ear again, telling me my time. And I was on pace for like around a 3:54. And I was like, you know what? I can live with this.
That's great. Yeah.
I just need to get across the finish line. And in like the last mile, you kind of get back into a more populated area, like instead of being neighborhoody, you're like back really around like the big crowds. And again, you've got people who are like seeing that you're running your first marathon and they're like, you almost, you're there, you can do this. And the very, very final stretch of that particular marathon is a downhill. So you approach it, like it's pretty steep downhill that you approach the finish line. And I remember I turned the corner and I rounded the kind of top of the hill. And I was like, I'm going to cry. I was like, I got really emotional. And I was like, I cannot believe that I am about to cross the finish line of a marathon. Like, in what world is this the thing that I was ever going to do? And it was really special because we were running with the team for this group. They actually had their own photographer who was there on, so in addition to the race photo.
So cool.
Also had someone who was taking pictures and like knew to find us based on our jerseys. And so he was there when I, like, after I crossed through the finish line, and got like really special photos of me, like getting my medal. And, it was just, yeah, I just felt like immediately I was just like in a daze. I was like, what did I just do?
Yeah. I was just interviewing somebody earlier today, actually, that described the finish line feeling in like a way that I've never been able to put into words. He was like, it's like, I asked him, I think, is it like starting a new chapter or something like that? And he's like, no, it's like closing a book, where a really, really good book, where it's like, you're a little confused because you're like, wait, that was it. That was so good. I loved that. That was amazing. But like that was it. Oh no. you know, and that's kind of the feeling. Cause a lot of people will describe it like, I can't put it into words. I don't really know how I felt. I know I was emotional. I know it felt good, but like, I was like, was that it? I just thought that was a great way to describe it. It's like, yeah, the book's over. It was a great book. This is where we're at now. What's next?
Cause it is. It is like, it's this feeling of like, oh my God, like I just finished this crazy, cool, amazing thing. But like, how is that just a thing that I've done now? There is this kind of feeling, like disbelief of like, wait, like I just ran a marathon? Like,
yeah.
What? and all of a sudden, like, you cross the finish line and, you know, those last 6 miles, I was like, my legs hurt. This is so hard. What is this hill? It's so hot. Everyone around me is like passing out. I'm just like on my own now. Like, I'm not going to hit my goal. Everything was so hard. I crossed the finish line. None of that was occurring to me anymore. I was just like, oh my God, I ran a marathon. And also, I need to sit down
and need some food and need some water. Yeah. Then all the like logistical stuff starts clicking in. You're like, okay, I'm actually severely dehydrated. I need some help.
Yeah. There's like the whole race party and everybody's over there like drinking a beer, having pizza. And I was like, no, I literally just need a gallon of water and on my back with my legs straight out in front of me. I was like,
right.
I try to sit on, there were so many people. I didn't understand how all the people who sit on the ground after they run a marathon. I would watch all these people and they were like in the whole park area and they just like pop a squat and they just sit down on like a blanket or on the grass. And I was like, I physically can't do this.
Yeah. If I get down, I'm not getting back up.
No. And I'm going to need assistance even to get down. I think we went and tried to find a spot to sit down because my dad had actually also run. They had an 8K, which is like a distance. And he, my dad runs mostly just 5Ks and had never run anything further than a 5K before. And so was really excited to run an 8K because he did this. This was 2 years ago. So he was 72.
Good for him.
He ran it. So it was a really cool experience for him too. And so he also had like his medal and he was sweaty and he was like, but he was like, we could go sit down and like have a snack. And I was like, I can't sit. I was like, you need to find like a very, very highly elevated bench or something that I can just kind of like lean back onto. And but if you put me on the ground, it's not
happening. Well, cool. I mean, amazing first marathon experience. You got to experience all the highs and the lows. You got to feel the finish line feeling and all that good stuff. So it sounds like all things considered, and you were pretty, I would say you hit your goal. You were close enough to
the goal. I ran it in, it was 3:53:53.
That's great.
I was ecstatic. It was a really, really tough day. I think there were only three or four of us from the whole team who actually even got in under 4 hours because it was just, the conditions were really hard. And so I very much left feeling like I had done everything that I had in me. I remember feeling just very, very, very satisfied. I was like, I don't have any doubts that I could have done any better than that. Like, there was no part of me that was like, oh, if I had just like planned my pacing a little bit better, or fueled a little bit better. Like the question that I ended up asking my coach when we had our debrief was just about the pain in my legs. It wasn't like my question to her about like, was this because I didn't train enough? It was just because my legs hurt so much that I was like, is that normal? Or was that something that I wouldn't have experienced if I had like carb loaded more or strength trained more? And she was like, no, it's just because, you know, you've never run 20 miles before. So those muscles have never experienced that. So they just were hurting. But everything else about it, I just felt very confident that I was like, I did the best that I had in me on that day. So I was never disappointed about not hitting the particular time goal, because I just, was like, I did above and beyond anything that I ever thought was possible for me. And I know that I gave myself the best performance that I had in me on that day in those conditions, you know, again, thinking about like, it's not my training, it's the circumstances. So it's like
absolutely
in the heat and on a, you know, first marathon day with the overwhelm and the physical side of things, like that was the best I had in me. And I think that's pretty good. So it was great.
Yeah. You can't ask for much more than that feeling. Like no matter how everything turns out, if you hit your goal, you don't hit your goal, as long as you can finish the marathon feeling like I gave that everything that I had. Yeah. That's the feeling that matters. So, that's awesome. Great first marathon experience. And I know you have another marathon under your belt and you're training for another one right now. So maybe generally, if you could just speak to what has changed since that first marathon that's really helped you for the second one, and now as you're preparing for your third.
Yeah, I'm still kind of just figuring out what it is that I want out of running marathons right now. And I think it's different for each race is what I'm starting to kind of piece together. I think I ran that first one and I kind of, you know, immediately got the bug. I was like, I finished it. And I remember I was with just my fiance at the time and my parents, but my sister, we were like keeping my sister updated, and she was like, are you gonna want to do another one of these? And I was like, absolutely. And she was like, you're insane. She was like, you are like actively unable to walk upstairs and you're already like, yeah, I can't wait to do another one. But the second marathon that I ran was the Chicago Marathon, which is huge. And I went into that one kind of approaching it in the same way that I approached the first one, with like a time goal and this kind of vision of like, I'm going to train really well and I'm going to prepare. And I got there, and Chicago is chaos. I mean, it's fun, but like, it's so many people. And I was not prepared for how hard it is to navigate a course with, you know, 40,000 people on it. And so the volume of people, I finished it. I did set a PR that was just a little bit better than my last one, but I had been hoping for something faster. I had huge issues with my hips because of the flat course. And I came out of that one and I just was like, okay, all marathons are not the same.
Yeah.
Like, the marathon as a distance is the distance that it is, but your actual experience in running it is going to vary so much depending on the specific race that you're running. And so that one, you know, was one of the big glitzy majors, tons and tons and tons of people, packed course, tons of spectators. The one that I'm running in a week is in Vermont, and it is capped at 500 participants. And you start up in southern Vermont and you run into western Massachusetts. You run along the side of a river. It's a totally different experience. And for this one, I was originally training to run it with a pace goal, because I thought like, okay, this feels more like the place where you can go in and have a time goal, because it's just it's just about you. You don't have to worry about navigating other people. This particular course is a pretty significant net downhill, and I was like, it's gonna be great. I've had kind of a tough summer, and this training block has just not really gone the way that I wanted it to, and so I've kind of thrown that goal out the window, and I'm just going to have fun. But it's still, I'm approaching it in this understanding that like, this marathon is its own marathon. Like the race that I'm training for is not my third marathon. It's the New England Green River Marathon, that is this specific quiet local one that's not going to have a lot of people, and I'm going to have to motivate myself, versus I'm also actually running the New York City Marathon this year too. So like that I'm going to prep for that one is no time goal in mind. I'm going to feel the crowds. I'm going to have fun. I have some friends who live in the city who I'm going to get to see. Like, I think the big thing that I've pivoted to with the marathon is that the experience with the marathon is going to be very, very different depending on the marathon that you're running. And so Richmond was an incredible first marathon, and it was a great spot for me to really execute that goal of like, what does it look like to just really dedicate myself to training for this distance and to seeing if I can execute a specific goal.
Yeah.
It was the right fit for that. And I'm so happy that I had that in that one. Everything else, you know, they're all completely different from that. Nothing that I have run since, and probably nothing that I ever will run, is going to be exactly the same as that one. And so the way that I orient myself towards it needs to be different as well. Like,
yeah,
it's now become a process of choosing, like, do I want to run a race next because I want to hit a time goal? Or do I want to run it because it's a place I want to go see some people and run there? Or do I want to go run it because it just looks like it would be fun, and I just want to go, even though I don't know anybody there, because it just looks like a fun time? And then kind of crafting my training around whatever my goal is going to be for that particular marathon, rather than setting out. And I think I envisioned, after Richmond went so well, that I was just going to like line up these marathons that I would do. And, you know, every year I would pick one and I would just try to get faster and faster. And then realizing, like, okay, they're not all a great venue to do that though. Some of them are not a great venue to try to be faster. Some of them are just a great venue to go and have an experience. And like, that can be okay too, but you need to be prepared for that. And so it's just like the mental, where you place yourself mentally, is to be like, what am I running this race for? And that's kind of where I've placed myself now. It's like, what do I want to prepare for next? And what's going to be the race that fits that?
Yeah. No, I think that's great. That's great. Cause then you're not setting expectations for yourself that you can't hit. Like, you know, not setting out a goal for yourself that is maybe unobtainable given all of the factors that we've talked about this whole podcast that could potentially go wrong. So I think that's a great way to think about marathon training and shifting your goals and not feeling like, you know, we think about the Boston qualifiers, I think, when we think about big goals, but it doesn't always have to be that. If that's your goal, great. You know, that's your goal. But for most of us, our goal is to run a marathon. And I like that you're thinking about the each marathon goal as its own thing. That's really cool.
And again, I think, you know, what we were talking about with Richmond too, of that feeling, you know, one of the things that was so rewarding about Richmond was having that feeling of like, I ran the best race that I possibly could. I left it all out there. That was exactly what I had to give. When I ran Chicago, I didn't feel that because I had prepared for the wrong thing. And so because I went in thinking like, this is going to, everybody talks about how this is such a fast course, I was like, aiming for running a 3:45. I was like, this is going to be great. It's my first major. I'm going to run so fast and it's going to be so exciting. And then because that didn't happen, and because the flat course did more damage on my hips than I was expecting it to, like, I left that feeling like I did have more that I could have done, but that wasn't the right place to do it. And I ended up shifting that energy, and I ran a half marathon like a month and a half after that. I signed up like last minute. I was like, I'm gonna see if I'm right, that my training had me in better shape than what I actually ran. And I set a 7-minute PR in the half marathon. Wow. Like, it was, I was in the best shape that I possibly could have been. And that one, I went in and I was like, I picked it specifically for what my goal was, and I ran it. And it was that feeling of like, okay, that's what I have in me. Chicago just wasn't the place to try to demonstrate that. Like, that was not the right venue for that expectation. And so just understanding, like, you have to match them up, then they're not all going to fit. Has been liberating for me. And like, I'm not going to go into the world majors now being like, I'm going to run a PR. People go into New York thinking they're going to run a PR anyway, because my understanding is that's just a challenging course. But just like, again, like you said, like, not every race has to be the goal of Boston qualifying. Not every race has to be the goal of setting a PR. It can just be about what's the race you want to run in these particular circumstances at this particular time.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Great way to look at it, for sure. And I know that was kind of advice that you've given throughout the whole thing. If we could sum it up all into one, is that to treat every race individually. But is there anything that you could think of for like somebody who's thinking about training for their first marathon? Any advice that you would offer somebody like that?
Yeah, I think like knowing why you want to do it, or kind of what is driving you. Like, for me, I am very task oriented, like I said, and I'm very like goal oriented, and like, I function really well around like, this is a thing I want to accomplish, and I'm going to do the things that I need to accomplish it. Like, that is just kind of how my brain works. And so for me, I knew that training for a marathon, the reason that I wanted to do the time goal was because if I just said like, I want to see if I can run the distance, I might not have actually done it. Like, I might not have followed through. I might have just kind of gotten into the training and been like, oh, this is too hard. Or like, I don't see what the end result is going to be. It just wouldn't have been clear enough to me to have felt the motivation and like the real dedication to continue. And so for me, it was important to have that why. It was that important to have that motivation factor of like, this is not just a thing I'm trying to do. This is a very specific thing that I am orienting myself and I'm planning around. And lots of people don't operate that way. So like, maybe your goal is just, I want to get across that finish line because I'm raising money for a charity, which is also something that I've done I used a lot of my half marathons in the time since I was evacuated to raise money for various charities and also some direct donations for friends and family who have been affected by the war in Ukraine. And so, like, that was always a motivator for me. For those particular races, it was like, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to show up and I'm going to be wearing my Ukraine t-shirt and I'm going to know that I'm doing this because I'm raising money to send to people that I love. And that's a different motivator. But like being clear on that was what allowed me to really feel dedicated to the training because the training is hard. Like, it's a long time. You spend weeks and months dedicating yourself to this. Like, you're getting up early, you're changing the way that you eat, maybe, like, you're building in more strength training than maybe you already were doing. Like, the amount of dedication that you have to put in to be able to be prepared for something, especially a marathon, which is so taxing on your body. If you're just kind of like, I don't know, I just kind of want to see if I can do it, it might be hard to find that dedication and to really feel like committed to it. But if you can just sit down even briefly to be like, what is it that makes me want to do this? Or what's the thing that's going to like really get me across the finish line? Then that helps you in your training as well. Like, people talk about
Absolutely.
having a reason for like crossing the finish line, but that's going to help you the whole time that you're training. If you understand kind of why am I doing this? What is it for? What is the purpose behind it? Then you'll have a lot easier time like waking up when your alarm goes off at 5:15 in the morning or like going to the gym after a long day at work when you have that piece of you that's like, I know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the finish line is a split second of training. It's like it's that is the 1 second where you get to celebrate. Everything else, you're motivating yourself for 18 weeks. It has to be, some people might be able to just pull from inside and do it just like off sheer will, but most of us are not like that. So having a why, having a reason to wake up, a reason to go out and do the run, it's huge for sure.
And again, it can and probably should be different for the different races. Like, it's not a one size fits all. Like, it's maybe you have a sort of intrinsic motivator for why you run in general. Like, I do feel like the reasons that I run are very much just for myself. But that's different than the reason why I sign up for a race. The reasons why I sign up for each individual race are different and unique to the individual race. And it's important to understand that because each training period is going to reflect kind of what my intention was in getting to the point of being like, this is what I want to tackle next. It's not the same thing as the thing that just like gets me out of bed when I'm not training to just be like, oh, it's a beautiful day, I'm going to go for a run. That's a different motivator.
For
Maybe
sure.
for some people it's not. Maybe some people it's just like, I have to wake up every day and go for a run. And if people are those people, then like, I'm very jealous of you.
Yes, me too. Well, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how I knew you had that next race coming up, but you have two coming up this year, which is even
I
more exciting.
do, yeah.
So looking forward to seeing how training shakes out for you and how the races end up. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at it's spelled, I think a lot of people think that it's M runs a lot, which was an intentional pun. It's LAUT, which is M runs a lout, which is my hyphenated last name. So it's M like EM runs a lout. And I'm on there. And I also do write a Substack newsletter that goes out once a month that's at Sixth House Running at Substack. And that's linked on my Instagram as well. But I do a like a newsletter once a month that's about running, but also about kind of a lot of the things that I've talked about how I find it to be very connected to community and place and kind of the more spiritual and community side of, you know, what running and what those kind of parts of our life can look like.
Cool. I love that. That's great. Well, I'll make sure to link your Instagram for sure in the show notes, and then definitely check out her newsletter because I think that's cool. I'll have to check it out myself. I didn't get a chance to take a look, but I'll take a look.
Yeah, it's kind of under the radar. I send it out. I plug it out once a month and I kind of briefly promote it on my Instagram and kind of don't really talk about it at all. It's just a thing that I like to do, but it's kind of a very small part of my social media presence, but I do
Sure.
do it, so.
Cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for walking through your marathon journey. And I think that there was a lot in here that people can take away, whether you're a newer runner or you've been running for some years. So appreciate you walking through your journey today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @myfirstmarathonpod. See you on the next one.